Well, good morning, Houston Northwest Church. How are we today? Oh, can we do that again? We're getting energy today. I need your help today. Good morning, Houston Northwest Church. There we go. Happy Father's Day and Juneteenth. My name is Dan Worrell. I have the privilege and honor to serve as the pastor of operations here, and I know some of y'all are thinking, oh no, is there something broken on stage? What is Dan doing? I know. Pastor Steve texted me and said, hey, would you be praying about preaching on Sunday? And I immediately texted back and I said, I think you have the wrong number. So here we are. We're continuing our new series, Life in Pieces, looking at King David. And so, church, I'm going to need your help today. We're going to be excited to be together on Father's Day, celebrate and looking at that. We're going to be in 1 Samuel 17, but let's recap last week. If you were here, you got to see Kirk deliver an amazing message. If you didn't get to see that, I want to encourage you to go back and watch that series. Yeah, we can clap for that. Yeah, it was good. We read last week and saw how David was anointed. I'm going to read that again, chapter 16, verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward. Last week we saw Saul was only interested in being obedient when it was convenient to him. We saw that Saul was passive and lacked awareness, and that he lacked wisdom. And ultimately, the difference that we saw was Saul loves Saul, and David loves God. I want to recall an illustration from Pastor Kirk last week. If you were here, you recall he brought his tool bag. If you weren't, he had a tool bag that he brought up on stage, and he said, you know, sometimes in life when we're facing trials and things before us, we go into that tool bag and we pull out God and just kind of use him, and then we kind of put him back. And he flipped the script and said that we are the tools and God uses us when he chooses in his timing to glorify him. It was so powerful that last week after lunch, my oldest son after church, my oldest son at lunch said, Dad, you're a tool. So church, if you have your Bible, please open your Bible to 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to go to the scriptures, but let me pray for us before we do that. Father, we love you, and we just welcome your presence right now. Father, I just ask that the Holy Spirit fill this place. Father, we celebrate Father's Day today, but this day is sometimes painful for some of us. Painful for some of us that lost our fathers. Painful that maybe didn't have a good experience from their earthly father. And we thank you that you are a heavenly Father. Father, I need you to speak through me today, that you use my words and make them clear, and that we can just feel your presence and experiencing who you are, and to get to look at the life of King David and how you used him. Father, we ask that you fill this room with your Holy Spirit, that our hearts may be softened and touched, and that we may go from this place encouraged by who you are. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 17, verse 3. The Philistines were standing on one hill, and the Israelites were standing on another hill with a ravine between them. Then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall and wore a bronze helmet and bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. Church, 9 feet 9 inches tall. I don't know if some of y'all are watching the NBA Finals. That is 3 inches of a regulation basketball goal at 10 feet. He was wearing armor the weight of some junior high kids around him. Isn't it interesting that we see how the size of Goliath looked impossible, and how many times in our own lives that seem like challenges are so big, they're impossible. Verse 8, he stood and shouted to the Israelites' battle formations. Why do you come out to line up in battle formation? He asked them. Am I not a Philistine and you're not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men and have him come down against me. If he wins in a fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us." Goliath is straight up taunting the Israelites. His arrogance is that of a schoolyard bully. And to think that this took place every morning for 40 days. Now, David was the youngest of eight. His three older brothers were already serving in Saul's army. Let's look at verse 17. One day, Jesse had told his son David, "Take this half bushel of roasted grain along with these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Also take these 10 portions of cheese to the field commander. Check on the well-being of your brothers and bring a confirmation from them." David's father, Jesse, entrusted David. You see, David was basically running the family business. He was overseeing the sheep and shepherding, and he also trusted him to go after and bring back the report. David's obedience for his father was out of love for him. Fathers in the room, this verse does not go into the details of Jesse's fathering, but you can see his love for his children and his trust for David. We will read in a few verses that David trusts in the Lord, he hears and obeys him, and he also honors his father. Dads, it's essential that as we navigate the challenges in this world today, that we teach our children to look to the Lord. And most importantly, we need to teach them that everything they do is for the Lord. I want to share a time with my father with you. It was in my late 20s, and we were going through a pretty tough decision with our business. We were looking at shifting the focus of our business from the niche of retail, hotel, and apartments to the education realm. Basically, we were looking at going after schools. I would call my dad and soundboard, and we would talk strategy. But I basically wore my dad out talking about it. Our relationship was one that we spoke every day. We prayed for one another. And many of you know that God called my father home 3 days after I started here. One of the greatest things that he told me at the moment I was facing was, "Daniel," now that's what my dad and mom call me, "have you spoken to Jesus about this? Have you gotten on your knees and asked him about this? Son, I love you, but you need to go to our Heavenly Father and talk to him about this before we talk about it one more time. You need his wisdom first, not mine." Dads, God is using us to show your children how to hear from the Lord. God wants us to show how to our children how we can walk in obedience to our Father. Your kids are watching everything you're doing. They're watching how you handle the giants in your life. I want to encourage you to let them see you on your knees. When it's appropriate, bring them in and show them how you're wrestling with things of this world. And show them how you depend on the Lord and your decisions. So David heads out early in the morning to fulfill his dad's request. And while he's in the battle camp, he hears Goliath come out and shout his usual words. Now, all the lastborns in the room, can I see y'all? Can you show me your hands, all the lastborns, the babies? Yeah, there you go. Woo! I am too. I am the youngest of four. I'm the little brother. And so It's interesting. I want you to catch what happens next, because all us lastborns, what do? We're always asking questions, right? "Mom, what about this? Dad, what about that? How does this happen? How does that work?" So watch David in verse 26. "What will be done for the men who kills that Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? Just who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David's oldest brother, Eliab, listened as he spoke to men, and he became very angry with him. "Why did you come down here?" he asked. "Why did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" So as in big brother fashion, he's taunting his little brother and just kind of belittling him to say, who did you leave those little few sheep to? Like, just go take care of those things. We're doing the hard work, the fighting the army here. What are you doing? I want you to remember chapter 16, verse 13, that his brothers just witnessed Samuel anointing David. The verse says, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward. So babies of the family, what are we always accused of? Being spoiled, never getting punished. I remember my siblings would be like, you never got spanked. We always took it. And I don't know about you, but it's always like, oh, he's just the little brother. He doesn't know anything. So in all little brother's response, look at verse 29. David, what have I done now? Protested David. It was just a question. Verse 32, David said to Saul, don't let anyone be discouraged by him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Here's young David encouraging the king Saul, encouraging the commander-in-chief of the army. But Saul replied, you can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was young. David answered Saul, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. Excuse me. David's previous trials prepared him for this. Church, God has us go through trials to prepare us for something greater than we can even imagine. There's things in your life that come up that you look back and say, man, I made it through that, but now here's a new challenge. God is growing you and using things for his glory. Church, the trial I spoke about when my dad told me to go to the Lord first prepared me for the trial when we walked through rebuilding the campus here at Houston Northwest Church. We don't have time to go through all the times God guided what to do when rebuilding this campus. The elders prayed, seeking guidance, wisdom, and provisions to proceed be provided. Church, there was night after night when we were rebuilding, making decisions the Lord was guiding. The Lord would wake me up in the middle of the night and show me what to say or do the following day. One of those times was when we were trying to figure out how to best use the site we call the lawn. Church, the Lord designed that. Another example was how we have limited power on this campus and trying to decide and dedicate enough energy to each building without having to bring in costly transformers and new power from the road, splitting off the main and trying to have enough for future growth. God showed us. We had an amazing team, and the Lord led us. Guys, my wife literally would ask me, how did you know about that? Or how did you know how to do that? Or even ask those questions in meetings? It wasn't me. It was Jesus. I am one of the tools God decided to use at that time. So God prepares you in trials. Verse 37, then David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul had his own military clothes put on David, put on a bronze helmet on David's head, and had him put on armor. David strapped his sword over the military clothes and tried to walk, but he was not used to them. I can't walk in these, David said. I'm not to use them. Isn't it interesting how in times that we go through trials, and like Saul only knew how to help by telling him to use his armor and to suit up with his armor and his prepare for battle. Yet David, so in tune with the Lord and what he had learned from his previous trials, knew that God would provide what was needed. But more so, church, catch this, God changed the course of history using David, who was not a qualified warrior in the eyes of the world. Then with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistines. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel. You have defiled him. Today, the Lord will hand you over to me." David trusted the Lord in the midst of this battle, and he took down the giant. But church, David made a choice. He made a choice to face the giant. When the entire army was fearful, Saul didn't know what to do. David's brothers didn't know what to do. And here is young David, a tool for God, being used in a powerful way simply because David said, "Here am I." What about you? Some of us have a giant that we're facing right now. Some of those giants are fear. Fear of changing jobs. Fear of getting hurt in relationships and having to become vulnerable. Fear of not being able to provide if you let God control your finances. Fear of stepping out in obedience to whatever God is calling you to do. Church, some of us have a giant that is anxiety. These past 2 years have caused many of us to experience paralyzing anxiety. Saul and David's brothers were paralyzed with anxiety facing Goliath every morning for 40 days. Some are facing the giant of temptation with adultery and pornography. And some are facing a giant of pride. So church, if you would let me be vulnerable with you for a moment and share a giant that God had to break in my life of pride. As many of you know, Gretchen and I owned a company in the construction industry. God called us to sell my business and to go into full-time vocation ministry. Many of you may not know that God had to break me of pride in my life so I could surrender the calling fully to be here. Church, while I was wrestling with the calling, God was allowing projects to not be awarded. Our business started to decline. So what does any person do when this happens? We fix it, right? We can fix this. I've got this. So I started calling on new business, staying up all night long preparing bids. And it wasn't until God spoke to me one evening, said, "Dan, who do you think allows these bids to be awarded?" Church, it was from that moment that the intimacy of God speaking was so sweet. It was a trying time in my life thinking, "I can handle this, I can do this." Yet every morning, God would speak to me. He would tell me what to do that day. It was crippling. But his voice and presence in my life, it was amazing, and it was so sweet. Friends, we all know we also have an enemy. That enemy does not want us to surrender to our Heavenly Father. That enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. 9 years ago one morning, our enemy got in my head and was filling me with lies. Lies like, "You can't run a business. You can't provide for your family. You're not honoring the Lord with your life. In your life, and let your family at least have the insurance money." Church, it was a dark, dark moment. I sat at my desk and it lasted about an hour. There was a loneliness and a darkness that I felt and feared. I couldn't imagine what it would be like without Jesus. God, when we're going through things like that, we can't understand, and it's just a fear. You have to understand there is spiritual warfare taking place. That morning, Gretchen was taking our kids to school and came home crying. What's wrong? Why are you crying? What's going on? She said, I know what the enemy told you this morning. At that time, I was not in a good headspace. I replied, oh, if God told you, why don't you tell me? Church, Gretchen began to tell me things that Satan was trying to fill in my head. We began to just weep. We got on our knees, we started praying, cried out to the Lord, and just thanked him for his goodness and love for his children. You might be asking, Dan, why are you telling us this? I want you to know that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and in struggling with giants in your life, today you can make him Lord of your life. Church, I can't explain that peace that transcends all understanding. I can't explain that peace that came over us 9 years ago in the midst of that darkness, that void. Church, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that is void in your life. I can't explain when you walk into a home who just experienced a massive, devastating tragedy, and yet there is peace in that home. That's the Lord. I want you to understand that we have a Father who will never leave you, never forsake you, and loves you deeply. So we're going to go into a time of prayer. And before I do that, After I pray, I'm going to ask the elders and prayer team to come forward. But I'm going to go into a prayer for us. And I want you to understand, God loves you. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, today can be that day. We will have people up front. They're here to pray with you. They're here to walk with you and to show you your next steps. Church, I want to let you know that we're here to walk with you. It's called doing the one another's of life. It's the beauty of the church that we can come beside each other, walk together, share with one another, love one another, just as God loves us. If you're already a believer and need prayer, whether you're facing a giant or not, let us walk with you. Church, I want you to know that when I was going through that hard time, and even today, God continues to tell me and show me in all the brokenness, you got to let people see what's going on in your life. Because if you don't, they don't see me working in your life. That's hard for us guys and men. Everything's good. Everything's okay. We've got this. I want to let you know that it's okay to let the veil down. It's okay that everything's not okay. It's okay when we don't have it figured out. It's okay to let people intercede with you in prayer. Let me pray for us. And when I'm finished, the elders and the prayer team will be standing here and we're going to go into song. The church, let us intercede for you. Let us walk with you. Let the body of Christ be glorified and honoring on this Father's Day. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You spoke this world into existence, and yet you love us, you see us, you speak to us, and the intimacy of your relationship with your children is so amazing. Father, if there's people in the room that just didn't have a good earthly experience with their Father, Father, please let them feel your experience right now. That you are here in this place right now. That you wash over them. Let them know it's okay. We're not perfect. We don't have it figured out. But we trust in you. Father, let every day of our lives start with the intimacy of you and your voice and your word, that people can see that in the midst of struggle and pain, that you're still there. Lord, James tells us to count it all joy, and honestly, I don't know how to do that at times, but in obedience we do. So Father, I ask as we sing this song that you allow the church to be the church and come beside one another.